Monday, June 6, 2016, Dakota County Board of Corrections at 3 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization at 3:01, and Dakota County Board of Commissioners at 3:02 p.m.
3 o'clock. All right. Let's call the Board of Corrections to order, and we'll stand and say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joan, do you roll call, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda items here. The only thing we have is the approval for the previous minutes on May 9th, 2016.
So moved.
We got a motion by Tony.
I'll second it.
Second by Rick. Can you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. New business, Sheriff Kleinberg, we got the jail report.
Good afternoon. Done a little better on spending. We got it down to $42 a head, which was a lot better than April, which is at $67 a head. So I imagine that was a lot of the...
I think he had three payrolls in there, didn't he?
Yeah, three payrolls, and we had a lot of medical.
Okay.
So... that was a good thing. Right now we're running, as of about half an hour ago, we've got every bed full right now. Mm-hmm. We've only got one Burke County inmate down there on a contract, and we've got eight beds. Just talked to Stallman that runs Drew's jail for him, and they're turning down beds. They're so full. So I don't know what's happening, but Mark came in this morning and said, I've never seen this jail full like this. We're at capacity. So our next move is kick out the Burke County guy if we need a bed tonight and start hitting some of the federal inmates.
So capacity is like 135?
And just full.
Yeah. Well, so we had two beds this morning. South Sioux brought in two today.
We used to do those boats, you know, with the...
Yeah, and see, the problem with that is I've been out of the jail business for about 5 years, and we used to do that too. Well, now they fine you. See, they didn't used to do that before. They'd warn you. Now you get fined.
Huh.
And they took all the boats. When the jail upgraded and added them bunks here a couple years ago, took up all the square footage. So they said, we no longer can use boats. We call them boats. They're just like sleds that we put mattresses in. So we're at capacity for the first time. And I don't see it lightening up.
That's not good. Any reasons, do you think? I mean,
there's a lot of reasons. I would say probably over a quarter of our inmates aren't even from here. We had a lot of CF people. We have a lot of people that we don't know who they are. They're just people in the area. ICE stopped taking a number of years ago, so if they're not legal aliens, ICE used to take them from us and either deport them or do something with us. They don't do that anymore. So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons for... being full, and we are.
But CFI is going to slow down a little. They lay off 600 people on Thursday of last week. 600 of
employees?
Yeah.
But that's not going to fix...
Construction done.
Oh.
You know, not.
Yeah. Well, two things. You got summertime, which obviously the days are longer.
It always spikes.
Yeah. And if you notice, you drive around, you see a lot of plates. A lot of town people.
That's all these CF guys here.
And
Scott, they're supposed to have been letting them go, but I think a lot of them are staying. I don't think they're leaving. Because I see a lot of them.
I don't know if they're waiting.
Where would we board?
Where are they going to work?
I mean, yeah.
What happens when we get full? Where do we board after that?
Well, that's what I have to figure out. So that's what I was saying. If we're full, we start kicking contracts out to take care of our own. If we get over full, I have to house in another jail or something. I haven't thought that far ahead yet.
Can you bump your federal people out pretty quick? You can.
I don't know where they'll take them because Drew is the same thing. Yeah. He can't take them right now. Like I said, Stallman was in today interviewing someone, and he was telling me, hey, we're over capacity.
How understanding would the feds be if you start kicking them out and saying that we're over capacity? I mean, are they going to put you on the back burner then?
I don't think it'll be that. We've never had to do that. So, no, I don't think so. Usually when Drew gets full over there, we'll go over and get him and bring him over here because typically we're not full.
Right.
So we always welcome that because that's income. But
right, exactly. So,
But now the little counties like Burke County and those guys that we've got contracts with in the last year and they're housing with us, you know, it's kind of hard for me to call them sheriffs and say, hey, get your prisoners out here where we're full. Because
yeah.
they don't have jails.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just stuff you got to deal with, I guess. Where we'll put them, I suppose Saunders County would be about the closest place that has open beds. They've got a new jail. That's quite a drive.
Is that Wahoo?
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder, when you say people will stay, I mean, I know we got problems with the rental inspection program mm-hmm. in South Sioux City because I'm on the board of the rental inspections. And they've been finding places, you know, where mm-hmm. six, seven guys living on a small apartment. And but that's going to be the end of it, at least in South Sioux City. I don't know in Sioux City, Iowa, but, you know, the inspection should be over the last of June, July, excuse me. But I don't see where they're going to live. I mean,
yeah. I don't either. And I thought when they started winding down with CF, I mean, there was hundreds and I don't know how many. We have a lot of cases on those guys. We're going to be dealing with that for many years to come because the warrants will come out, and if they're felonies, we'll be doing extraditions, and you know it all ties into all that stuff. So I heard that they cut over half of them loose. Well, it just doesn't seem like that's the case because they're, like you said, the out-of-county plates.
Do you think they're waiting for the next the phase of the hog thing over there? What's that? What's
they're building that already.
Are they already going?
There's not that many jobs. I mean,
Arthur, I thought it was going to be a replacement for CF.
For the, I mean, production, 1,100, when they employed 5,000 in CFI.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I would venture to say if we put 50 beds on this show, we'd have no problem filling it up. I know that sounds ridiculous, and that's a lot of money, but I don't know why. It's just...
It is.
Well, keep us posted.
That's all we can do.
Okay.
But other than that, it's looking all right. We're not over budget. We're doing all right. We're kind of fighting through it here. We'll have a meeting with Securus. I'm trying to change commissary around so we get 15% instead of 10%, and they handle all the cash for commissary, so those guys are waiting for me here.
So overall, you're 14% under budget for the year.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll do in the commissary now, though.
Okay. Were the other employees in there?
No, it won't be any other employees. And what actually it is, it's pretty neat. And if you want to talk to me about it out of the board meeting, I'll show you what it's about. But it just takes all that money that we handle every day, and they take care of it. So we're not washing all that money. It goes into the kiosk. When an inmate comes in here and he's got cash on him, instead of my jailers having to handle that cash and drop it in the safe and then us counting and writing them a check, it goes right into a kiosk. We never touch it. And when they leave, they get a card.
Oh, cool.
So, it increases what we get the revenue off of commissary.
Sure.
So, that's kind of a win-win for me. It takes the responsibility out of having to add a cash, plus it gives us a little more money revenue on commissary. So... But yeah, other than the jail being full, money's looking good. Everything's
under control.
Seems to be going good. No major incidents in there, so.
Perfect. Any other questions on the jail report? If none, we're going to move to B. Make it real simple. Approve the state of work with the Bureau of Indian Affairs Office and Justice Services providing housing within the county detention facility for adult individuals who have been arraigned and awaiting transport. You just want to just brief us this, I mean, simple, easy.
According to that contract, if I've got a person here with a local warrant, according to Aberdeen, I cannot keep them here. To me personally, as a sheriff, that's me not honoring my own court. I have a problem with that. BIA is saying you can't. You got to extradite through tribal court. I have another problem with that. It's not. That's not our court. That's for tribal members on the reservation. So there's some issues in there that I ran into in other counties that I really don't want to open up that can of worms right now. I'm not saying we can't work this out if there are local warrants, but I don't want to get into facing my court saying, yes, I let our local warrants go because we have this contract with these people. It's not something that I'm willing to do, and they're adamant. No, you can't keep them here.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
You know, well, I've been down that road, right? And I don't want to go down that road. It's not saying I won't contract with them. I'm just going to say if they've got local warrants, they probably hadn't ought to bring them here.
Right.
Because I'm going to keep them. And that'll get me in trouble with the FBI and all those guys. You know, that's a long road.
You don't need
go there.
You know, I'd like to have the revenue, but the way we're sitting right now, we don't have any room to put them in here either.
Right.
So
someday we might. Maybe we can revise this.
Someday we might, and I don't know. Kim's probably agrees with me. I don't know if they're willing to revise that. They're pretty strong about that. But it would be very hard for me, off the reservation, to not keep my own warrant here. I'd be basically spitting on our own courts, in my opinion. So that's the only real big issue I had with that contract. The money was okay. Everything else was fine with it. It's that part of it.
But well, if they need it someday, maybe they will revise it. If not, let's just leave it alone.
Yeah, we don't have no place to put them now anyway.
Okay.
So that's about as basic as I can get without
basic
going on a
good.
Rant.
Yep, that's
well, right. I can go on a rant.
No, let's don't do the rant today. We're good. Okay, so we just want to leave that as is, the way it is. We don't want to be approving anything.
No.
I don't know. Okay. All right, fair enough. All right, let's move on to three, the Corrections Committee reports. Any? Mail emergency business. Is there anybody from the public who'd like to comment anything from the Board of Corrections?
Will this be our last Board of Corrections meeting?
I think so.
Should be. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
And vice versa. It's actually seamless, I thought.
All right.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah, easy enough. This meeting's adjourned. We're going to move on. I'm going to turn it over to Rick Dave for the Board of Equalization.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, we're going to call to order the Board of Equalization. There's a current copy of the Open Meeting Act posted near the entrance there. Joan, do you want to call the roll, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move into consent agenda items. Approve the previous minutes of the April 25th, 2016 meeting.
So moved.
Second. And a motion by Scott Love and a second by Dick McNair. To approve the April 25th minutes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on into new business. Jeff Curry, assessor, asking the board to approve, appoint, and set compensation for the use of certified appraisers as referees for property valuation and protests.
Hi, gentlemen. Yeah, I can't pick your referee. If you choose to do referees and you want to do referees, that's kind of up to the board. So, I mean, I can definitely help if you guys want recommendations or because we've lost Lyle Todd. He did not do it again last year, and I think for health reasons he's not going to be able to help us again this year. So, and he's done it for years and did a good job for us. I've talked to Doug Helvig was in the office working on some fee appraisal work, and I let him know that it's probably going to be a very low number in ag this year because there's no agricultural changes, but he seemed to be willing if you guys would be interested. And then we also still have Tax Valuation Inc. on contract at a contracted amount, and they would help us too if that's what you guys would like to vote for. And other than that, I don't know. I've talked to a couple of the firms in the past over in Sioux City, and the fee work is right now sales are through the roof, and everybody's just busy right now with their own work. So it's really hard to kind of get somebody. But that is definitely a choice.
Use Lyle Todd last year, who was it that we used for the residential side?
I believe on the residential side, Tax Valuation Inc., I think, came in and did those, and commercial. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was Helbig Appraisal on the egg again, I believe, last year.
And you say we're not going to... we're going to have some ag, but not a lot.
Yeah. No, there should not be much. The agricultural land itself did not go up. Our level of value was at 70%. So nobody should have received a change evaluation notice from an agricultural standpoint unless they had a building permit or something like that where they added. I think there was a new hog confinement. We had to finish that up so they would get one, but... from agricultural land, there were zero changes made. Nothing went down, nothing went up.
It didn't go down either?
No. Uh-uh.
I know there's lag. What's the lag time of that, a year and a half?
It, unfortunately, that's a good question. I wish they'd change it. Unfortunately, it's 3 years.
Three?
Yeah, which is
why... I've been telling everybody a year and a half.
Yeah, they made you this. By statute, we use 3 years' worth of sales. Because the last two, if you look at last year and this year, egg sales have been trending down. I know there's people on the board that would know that in the agribusiness. Yeah. But our highest year of sales was still haunting us. That's the year we had three or four over 12,000. And
because there was some sales on 35 around the 6,000 mark here within last.
That's kind of where we're trending. I've looked at all the sales, and if this was the end of the year, and I was going to put my statistics together and my recommendation to give to my liaison to the state, we're looking... we would be looking, as of today, at about a 7% decrease on all ag land, just pretty much across the board from what I've seen on the sales we've got.
So that could be a year away, though.
That'll be what I roll. Like, if we, that would be for a 2017 taxes payable and 2018 scenario. And the trend seems to be, I think I'm pretty consistent. I've looked at a couple other counties around us, and they're seeing the same things we are.
Okay.
But they're, again, bound by that same 3 years that we are.
Seems like one... valuations go up, they go up quicker than that.
They do. That's just it. Because it would be if we went back 2 years, there would be a big... Well, actually, last year, we did reduce pretty much all the grasslands. And I think it was market area, too, for sure, all the way across the board. But if we would just go off 2 years and we didn't have that year sale, we'd have had a pretty good drop this year.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what we're going to actually have to deal with from an egg. I'm thinking the things we may see, and I'm not sure it'll be something that I'll have to look into and the board will look into. We still got a lot of standing water off of 35. And there's some land over there that last time I went by, which is a little over a week ago, there's still standing water. So I know they're not planting. So that might be something we have to talk about maybe.
Well, getting back to the referee deal, I know there's probably not going to be a lot on the ag part of it, but the commercial properties, we are getting a lot of protests coming in. And today, people picking stuff up, residential.
Oh, yeah. Commercial, we should have a pretty slow year, too. Residential, with residential property, we were delinquent on a statute for a land study by almost a decade. So it would. So there's a big land change that's out there. We were working. So
when you say we're almost a decade late on a land study, mm-hmm. and we were under the auspices of the state, so
absolutely,
that needs to be recognized that we weren't the ones that were at fault on that end of that deal on that land study.
Well, sure. Yeah.
So that was us. We were under the control of the state, so that was that.
For a lot of those years, yeah.
By half of those years.
Yeah, and that goes for the second part. You know, we were working on a 2002 to 2003 cost table. Well, we just got current on a 2015. If you look at what it cost to build a house from $80 to $120 now, between those years, there's a jump. And we went to that.
And then last year we had the 5% increase, and then now this year we've got people that have called and their values have either went up 100,000 or 80,000, and
there's been some doubles. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not happy.
How far along are we on the commercial?
44%, I think, is my last update on it.
Complete?
Yeah, 44%. The goal we're working from right now is to be able to roll for 17 all the new commercial data.
And this is what amazes me, and I've talked to several business owners, and their taxes have stayed the same.
For too long.
Well, they're still the same. So in my perspective, what I was thinking was, you know, the housing was going to stay the same. We had the mandated 5% last year, that the commercial was going to go higher because mm-hmm. of the fact that it's been undervalued. Mm-hmm. I really thought that was going to be the hike. And I've talked to a few, not a lot, mm-hmm. and maybe there's still the, you still got, you know, over half yet to do, but it's kind of ass backwards, if you will. You know, it seems like everybody's houses went sky high. I don't know. It's a problem. We got a huge problem.
Yeah, we have increases and we actually have decreases too. Probably some people's, you know, their opinion of value maybe it was too high, or their opinion of value maybe it was too low. But that's why we have the protest process. They need to come in. My office understands the market. We watch it very closely. We do sales ratio studies, the land studies. And all that said, I'm more comfortable now with our residential value than I have been since 2011. That said, the references that Commissioner Moscagia said are 100% accurate, too. There's some data that's out there that a house that went up $100,000, it was totally classed wrong. We went back, we looked up why it was classed wrong. It was to manipulate a sale to make the sales ratio. We have to be between 92 and 102. You can manipulate that data, which should never have happened. Data was manipulated that needs to be fixed. And once we did that, the house went back down to where it should have been. So one of the things we should have did, and I still may do, is I need to get something out in the newspaper explaining to the taxpayers to make sure they come in and see us just for that reason. Because so far today, I've probably talked to 100 people. And of that 100, I'll bet you 70% we sent down to protest and they're going to be corrected. And that's what it was. There was something in there that somebody hadn't been out there since 2008. So their quality and condition was wrong. So I know there's some sticker shock out there, and I definitely sympathize with that, and we feel for those people. But if they come in, we can certainly take care of it for them too.
But don't you guys review all these before you send them out? Are they all reviewed?
Thousands? No. We send out almost 7,000 changes. We try to. Everything we do is in mass. If we sat down and looked at every one of these individually, then we're going to cross that line into being fee appraisers. So, like in your neighborhood, Scott, for example, if you were, let's say, you were neighborhood 33 out there. When we went in and we said your lot values are going to be $2.50 a square foot now, I didn't just change yours or somebody a block or 2 blocks around you. I have to change everybody in neighborhood 33, which could be 800 to 1,000 houses. And when you do mass appraisal, which is what we do by statute, all those houses change. Now, are they all going to be right? Absolutely not. That's why mass appraisals like triage, fee appraisals like doing brain surgery. I walk down the beach and say, who's going to live, who gets treatment, and we do it in mass. A fee appraiser is going to come in and look at it, that house, look at his comps, and he's going to give me exactly what that house should be.
And I had a phone call. Yeah. I got to tell you the story. I had a phone call on Saturday night, and this in particular person, I'm not going to say his name, but he was looking through everyone's property via mm-hmm. online, okay? Mm-hmm. And he said it looked like a trending that everybody that was in the upper 100s to low 200s got hit 25% to 40%. If the houses were like 150 or under, they either stayed the same or they dropped. He said, it sounds like to me that they're trying to subsidize for whatever reason. He said, the trend, it looks like that the people that are paying a little bit, that their values are higher, they're hitting them, and the people, and this guy uses for an example that his neighbor on each side of his house, they went down where his went up, you know.
See, that would be a perfect case of an equalization problem. Whether we're right or wrong, as long as you and your neighbors or everybody in your neighborhood is equally right or equally wrong, if it's wrong, we'll fix it. But you should be the same. So that particular person should definitely come in and talk to us so we can take a look at what happened. And what you started with, that's another good scenario. If that was the case, then that would sound like there was bias to an upper-end housing or lower-end housing was lower. That's in mass appraisal, if you do it right and you follow the statutes, that's an impossibility. You change it by neighborhood. I mean, and it could be up to, I'm trying to think, our biggest neighborhood's probably a little over 2,000. We don't change individual houses. We change everybody when we do that at the end of the year. So it would be very hard for us, with that over 10,000 parcels, to sit back and kind of cherry pick what we want to do. That's labor intensive. It would be, and we wouldn't do it anyway. We would rather be equalized, right or wrong, in the entire neighborhood because I can fix it. You know, they can come in and see me. I guess we need to fix it together. They can come to me. I can find what's wrong. I can bring it to the board, chair, and you guys can then take care of it. Let me know I can fix it. And we'll fix anybody that comes in if they need to be fixed.
I think you said that, and I think you should do it, put it on the newspaper, you know, and make the taxpayers aware of what's going on, you know, so they'd be informed and willing to come to broadcast.
We really should. I think that was a miss on my part. And we'd actually talked about it a month ago, that we better get out ahead of this thing on residential. And with between the land study, the new cost tables, the depreciation, I mean, it was the residential file was totally rebuilt this year for us, which is going to help us in the long run to equalize everyone.
I just don't know how you can do that in 1 year. It's a guy that has no improvements in his valuation went up 30% to 40%.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, that's hard.
Look at the mandated 5%. We had 170 protests last year.
This is going to be overwhelming.
Oh, it is. Now 30 to 40 is pretty high. I would need to look at what actually happened to make sure their data is right, because I personally, like I said, I've talked to over 100, have not found that to be true, where it wasn't something we weren't going to fix. I'm not saying it didn't happen. Because we, like the chairman actually mentioned earlier, previously in these 10 years we were talking about where there was data manipulation, we weren't accountable for that. When we get in and we find it, we'll take care of it. And that was the result of some of those.
Okay.
Because if you change just the quality factor alone, can swing a house $10,000 to $20,000 like that with one setting up or down.
So can they be resolved before we even get into the referee?
I'm looking into that to see if we can't find a way where there's a process in which I can look at undervalued, overvalued, or what they call omitted property. If we just miss something and somebody comes in and tells us about it, that we can submit that to the board en masse in a sheet and say, can we fix these 500 parcels right now? And if the board approves it, we can. And I believe that's how it works. I've got to call in just to get it verified to make sure my interpretation is correct.
I think if that can be done, that simplifies.
Well, you don't want to spend a bunch of money on referees and then...
Well, no, exactly.
You don't have to.
Yeah, that could get... Because it's, I think, what is our agreed upon? I think $75 an hour. Does that sound right?
So,
yeah. And you're going to have hundreds of hours invested.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, this will be this year because of all the work that was done and things, some of these things that were created that need to be fixed, and just sticker shock, whether it's right or wrong, because it's been that long since it was updated, is something we definitely need to take into consideration.
I would think the board would have to do something instead of hiring referees and spending thousands of dollars and then have a lot of corrections. Okay, because I know that there is a lot of people that have gone up 30%. I've had a lot of those phone calls.
Okay,
you probably haven't seen those people yet.
No.
There's going to be a lot of time, a lot of energy spent. So I think we're going to be spinning our wheels and spending money that doesn't need to be spent. I really do.
And if you get those calls, and we're advocating this too, we're asking for the people to come in and talk to us.
Okay, good.
We want to talk to them so we can get, especially in those percentages you guys are talking about. We knew there was going to be a larger one. We actually worked with the state with some of the stuff we were working through last year, saying, you know, it's been a long time, so when we do this, is this something we can do over a period of time? But the main thing that we got to remember, we got to stay, is we got to be equalized. So right or wrong, everybody has to be treated the same. So that's
we need to decide though on these referees if we're gonna.
Right.
Are we going to hire the referees that we had last year?
I was happy with the people last year. I thought that Helvick and the other residential person did a very good job.
But on the other hand, we could do this. We could do the referee deal ourselves as five commissioners here. But if Jeff, if Jeff can get this worked out to where the referees aren't doing all of them and he corrects those clerical or mistyped or whatever and gets those done and lessens the impact it'll have on us cost-wise. Otherwise, we can go back to doing it when I was first elected and we sat in here for a week or so and Joan took all the notes. And
well, I had a guy call me and he said his went up 18% in Homer now. And on each side of him, three houses went down.
Yeah. So that sounds to me like that'd be the perfect person to come in and talk
That's
to
what
us.
I told him.
Yeah. Because we found a few that where they came in and they looked at it. And they said, look, I had this amount. This is what my lot was. My lot went up $7,000. So we look at it and say, well, you're a dollar a square foot. You just go right down the side, and everybody else is a dollar. And pretty soon you find somebody at 50 cents. You try to figure out fixing them. So that's a perfect example of somebody that should come in and talk to us.
And I agree with Rick. If we go through them, if this landowner or homeowner hasn't had any improvements.
That's right.
And has a 20, 30, 40% increase, it's pretty simple for us to say, hey, we're going to leave it as it was last year. I see no reason to.
The only thing, it's not that I don't agree with you, the only thing we're going to have to be careful of is it's not based on improvements. If somebody put a new roof on or put siding or put windows in their house, what we do is based on sales, just like the egg ground. So we'll look at, and it's 2 years' worth of sales. So we have to look at, in that neighborhood, those 2 years' worth of sales to get that, to get to that value. So if we make a decision, the way I understand it is we can, the board, we as a board, or me as the assessor with a board, can be taken to TURP by the Department of Revenue for equalization.
And at some point, that may be where you have to go to stand up for the people that live in Dakota County.
Sure.
And say, hey, you know, enough's enough. Yeah.
So, okay.
You know, I had calls from people this weekend that stated, you know, I'm almost renting my house when I'm paying $500 to $600, and I still got to pay my water, my sewer, my electric bill, and I got to buy food, too.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Mm-hmm. So, Jeff, what you're telling us is, say, for instance, in a neighborhood, your assessment was $160,000, and your neighbor's house sold in the last 2 years at $220,000. Then all of a sudden, now that it goes up to $220,000 or $230,000 or whatever the case may be, because you can go 95% to 102%.
2%. Yeah, 92% to, yeah. But one sale shouldn't do it. It's like one sale, like if that was the example, we take every sale in the neighborhood for 2 years. So you have the full trend to go with it. One sale in one neighborhood should never change. You know, if your neighbor built a Morton building or something, his value went up because of that, that should not change the value of your neighborhood.
Right.
Not one
right.
time.
Now, on a protest, when a person comes in a protest, they got to write down, and I haven't even looked at a protest yet, but they need to write down the reasoning. I mean, I've looked at them before, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to write down the reasoning why they think it should be at this or why it should stay at this.
Yeah.
So, like Bill said, are we qualified with you as a board to go through them? I just hate to spend our wheels and spend a bunch of money. And do I want to spend a week here? I think we owe it to the taxpayer to do the best we can to save money. But the question is, do we have the time or the knowledge, you know, to do it?
That's a very good question, and it becomes a tough question when we're concerned about
equalization.
The equalization aspect of it. What we would want to make sure on the protest is we get, if it's a 40%, we get it fixed up front. That's a no-brainer. But I guess the best way to put it is what had happened prior to those COVs is we do a level of value, like we talked about, the 92 to 102. Ag is at 70. Our commercial this year was what they called not enough information. They didn't set a level of value on it because we're right in the middle of a reappraisal project. So it's kind of given us a year break, essentially, or off. They're not calling. The TURP won't call a level on it. But we set that. It goes to the property assessment division, as I understand it. And then they actually, Ruth, the tax, Sorensen, the tax administrator, sends that on, and they do what they call a reports and opinion. So our level of value based on hundreds of sales, quite frankly, our market's booming. has already been set and been signed off all the way at the to the level of the Turk right now, and it's so we have that established already. So,
do you say the market in South Sioux City is booming?
Absolutely, yeah. I would say, and then you got to remember, and this is the 10-year deal too. All the counties in the Northeast District surrounding us, when they did their first letter, they did a 10-year study of residential increases. We were, I hope I don't misquote this, it was right at 10 or less than 10% in over 10 years. The next county closest to Dakota County was over 33% increases in that same time frame. So I think there was, based on that study, some expectations, right or wrong, set at different levels as to where we were at.
I guess where I'm at, Jeff, is what is the number of corrections, and I know you probably can't give me this figure, that if we hire these professional appraisers to go over them, how many are they going to have, and how many can you correct to keep that from being an astronomical figure at $75 an hour?
Exactly. We started doing two things. I've been kind of thinking about that. We've changed the in-house handling of protests in the office, what we can do by statute. And what we're going to be doing now is we're pulling all the sales comps and we're pulling all the equalization comps, because that's where the 30-40%, some of these errors we're hearing, that's where it's at. So we're going to pull it, so we're either going to see if we're right or wrong ourselves. And I can track all that on that spreadsheet. And from there, we'll find out if they were undervalued or overvalued when they protest. And we should be able to bless that in mass and take that. We wouldn't need to have that go to a referee. And then we can also go back. And like I said, we've already had it approved to the reports and opinions. The Turk has approved our levels of value. But I can go back and look. Scott, I think you brought up a point. Somebody was thinking neighborhood 115 probably did have the largest increase. A couple of reasons. That's where all the new houses are. So we got a lot of new construction, new growth there. But it's newer homes. So
the more expensive homes had the bigger increase versus the smaller.
Yeah, like in a Rotunda neighborhood. And when we do 115, yeah, they all got changed. And in 115, there's houses age 1980 to 2015, you know. So I can look at that and see. Right now I know the county's approved level of value in residential is 95, which is perfect. That's right where they want it. But that doesn't mean I can't look in that neighborhood and maybe say, you know what, if we look at this area and this area, if it's, say it's 103 or 102, 100 and over, maybe I could then dump that, write an index, dump that, put it on the same list, omitted, overvalued, undervalued, and the board can bless that in mass too. I mean, we can look at doing things like that. And like I said, I've already got a call. I'm trying to find out what that really means, how much of this I can do. The way it reads, it says omitted, undervalued, overvalued. So to me, that's what it's for. We should be able to do that.
Can we decide in 2 weeks, or do we have to decide today on a referendum?
That's just what I was going to ask, because we're going to start meeting on these in June the 18th.
I would like to know how many you could resolve before we decide what we're going to do. And I don't care. I mean, nobody wants to sit here for 2 weeks, but if we do, we do.
So when is the next meeting?
The
20th. The 20th. So we'll have another meeting before.
I would like to put it off if we can. See how many Jeff can resolve.
Yeah, did
give him more time to work on things.
Yeah. We don't have any referee hearing dates. That wasn't until the middle or end of June, or what? Do you remember? We were talking about setting when we would actually.
I think we've already started signing dates.
Yeah, I think maybe the 18th or.
18th. I can.
Well, I'll tell you what I can do.
Some in July.
Can we have an emergency Board of Equalization meeting on this topic if I do the research this
not
week? Not an emergency?
Yeah.
We can call a special.
Special.
We can call a special.
I've been called special today, too. But if that's, I mean, I don't want to break any rules. Yeah. Well, there was a lot of stuff around it. I just will leave the adjectives out. But
Well, today's Monday, so if we were to call a special meeting on, I don't have a calendar in front of me. Scott, can you tell me
like the 13th, next Monday is the 13th.
Yeah, that gives me this week to see what I can
do. Let's go with a special meeting on the 13th at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, in the morning.
And then we'll set our referees. So.
Yeah, that gives me enough time so I can go back and look. First thing I want to clarify is what this is going to allow me to do, because I don't want to get myself or the board in trouble or anything. But the way it reads, I think we're entitled, just for this reason, when you do that many changes, we can maybe get a bunch of this addressed in mass without having to incur the extra time and expense. So
that'd be good if we could do that.
Yeah, so I'll dig into that, and I'll get that clarified by then for you.
And not to confuse people, but if they do not protest or give a written protest and it isn't filled out right and they need to have all their stuff on there correctly, their legals and stuff, and their reasoning, they can be thrown out for technicalities.
Right.
And so they still need to fill protest forms out.
Yeah, we should have got something in the paper sooner.
We've been telling them that.
Oh, yeah, good, yeah. By June 30th, we need, because that protest form is, I consider it's a placeholder, it's a bookmark, it guarantees that we're going to get to go look at it. So as long as they're still putting them in, I can still continue to do what I'm looking at. But we do need to have them put those in so they don't get overlooked.
Okay.
And we print it out, and I think it's on in your letter, the website. There's an information guide on how to that thing is amazing. And we've got copies in the assessor's office, too. If they pick that up and read it, it's an amazing tool.
Okay, Joan, we're going to go with a special meeting at 9 o'clock on the 13th.
June 22 is the first date that we have set.
That's okay.
Okay, so that'll give us that date. We'll need to have to set the appraisers and referees at that time.
At when?
9 o'clock on the 13th, we're going to have a special meeting. A week from today.
Did I call that?
You called that.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
All right.
What time?
All right.
9 a.m.
I hope that'll work.
Yeah.
It would save us a lot of expense on. And something else, if they call, I know you guys get calls. I was in here working Saturday and the phones were ringing, so I'm sure all the commissioners are receiving. Just let them know to call me, into the office.
Right.
And actually, if they come into the office, it's better, because then I can sit down, bring up their record, and we can look at it together.
Okay.
And
so,
I can show them what happened. And
so also we'll do the dates then, too, the June and July dates.
Yeah.
Okay. They've been set, but... we can do that now, or we'll just wait and do it that time also at the special meeting on item B. Item B is discuss and set the dates for the Board of Equalization to meet in June and or July 2016 to review and accept referee recommendations or set their own value on property and valuation protests.
I would say don't table it.
Both of them, yeah. You said.
Let's set both of them at the 13th. So, okay, we'll move along to miscellaneous. Are there any miscellaneous?
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Nope, thank you, guys.
Any commissioner committee reports? Any mail or emergency business? Public comment? Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to Chairman Love.
Okay, we're going to call the Board of Commissioners to order here. Current copy of the Open Meetings Act posted on the west wall back there for anybody who wants to review. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Dick.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yes.
Okay, consent agenda items. I'm going to do A through C because a couple of them I'm going to break out separately. A is approval of the previous minutes from May 23rd. The payroll claims and approval of accounts payable if there is any. So I looked through the payroll. Everything is kosher, so I need a motion from A through C on the consent agenda items.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I got a motion by Bill, second by Dick. You call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, on the consent agenda items, we're going to go to D, approval of operations equipment rental agreement between the State of Nebraska, Department of Roads, In Dakota County Weed Control to establish equipment rental rates for control of the noxious weeds. Leon, do you want to give us a quick update?
Yeah, the reason I brought that up is in the past, excuse me, I'll just stand up here, is we talked about probably raising the rate, one thing. You know, and Joan, I believe, has got a something from the state where we got to authorize to the board that we're going to do it. And I wanted to make it clear we should be doing that now before the paperwork gets back to state, because once it's going to be set, I believe we charge them now $75 an hour. But on top of that, you know, this year, the state is doing a pretty good job themselves, so I'm not helping very minimal. And really, I don't have time right now. But the main thing for this agenda is to make you guys aware that if we want to raise the rates for some reason, we should do it for the paper.
Is time an issue because of the wind or what? I mean,
as far as the weeds?
Yeah.
Oh, this is wet year. It's going leaps and bounds. But it's every year at this rate. And the state, you know, that's the excuse they had. Is, well, they couldn't do this, couldn't do that. So I took it on myself years ago to make a contract with the state to charge them. And the reason for that is if you had a landowner on the state right away that did that weed problem, Jesus, cost me more time to chase the state around to get it done rather than just spray the infestation and charge the state, which works out really well.
You generate a couple grand, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing, yeah, somewhere.
Normally, right. If I recall, the number. Yeah.
So 20 hours, 30 hours.
Right. Yeah.
Why continue doing that? I don't know if, you know, $75, if that's enough or not.
Well, that's up to you guys. You know what I mean? To me, it's not the money I was making. Is this to help get the problem solved, to save me time? Right.
We're going to do it anyway.
It's not a freebie thing. Right. We're getting money for it, and it just encourages the state to do their own.
Do they contact you, or do you contact them?
On
both ways?
Well, before, I always got with the local weed state department here, and we did it in-house. Now there's been a change in Lincoln. I believe it comes right from Lincoln. And it's happened the last couple years. And this year, I think Jones was notified me that got the paperwork. So I wasn't even involved in it.
And honestly, I don't see it in this county as bad as I do across the river. Jones out terrible over there in those clover leaves.
Yeah, that state of Iowa is just really tough. And they're getting the river spraying. It's really tough. You know, they're not doing it, and we are. And geez, we're getting really hammered, but what do we do? And our state weed guy, Mitch Kaufman, he said, well, go talk to him, harass him, do something. Well, what do you do? You know, what do you do? Go over there and start beating on him? I mean, what do you do? Just do the best you can, so you can do
it. What do you recommend? Just leave it the same?
To me, I would be satisfied if the board is.
Yeah, I don't see any problem.
I think it's fine. But like you said, there ain't a lot going on anyway, so let's just...
Okay, that's my main reason to make it a... known, so it wouldn't be no anybody's dark about it.
Are you going to be doing any sweeping for bugs for leafy spurge?
There again, that's a havoc, because with all that wet weather, our bug population has been decreasing, and there's not enough. You know, and everybody's just kind of really shy of giving up. I mean, there's been a lot destroyed due to the flooding. You know, like I'm in Dixon County, yeah, a lot of them that's going to be washed out, you know, covered with water, and the populations are gone. Mm. And now and if you guys watch the news, they got these oak borer or ash borer. There's so many new ones coming up. They're introducing that to us also, kind of putting that on our back. But it's all kind of up in the air, you know what I mean? That's, and I guess we could talk for a long time, but there's just a lot of stuff going on. I mean, a lot.
Yeah, I'm just giggling about something is off. My bad, sorry. I was listening. I'm with you. All right, so somebody give me a motion here. Let's just move on to this.
Yes, I would move to leave the equipment rental rates the same with the state as it has been, $75.
Okay. I'll second. Okay, we got a motion by Bill, a second by Rick to keep the operational equipment agreement with the state with the Nebraska Department of Roads. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Okay, thank you, Leon.
Thank you.
Okay, we need to approve and update the information for the comprehensive strategy statement of the understanding to change the name of the board chair planning team for positive youth development. That is Sarah Deck's grant signature. So I didn't want to take Tony off and put myself on it as the chair. So we just need the approval to update that and then get my signature instead of Commissioner Gomez's.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion by Rick and a second by Dick. Will you call roll on that, please, John?
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
I don't know.
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
You want to kick him on over, pal? You can sit here, up here. Okay, lastly, on the consent agenda, I was on F. Approve chair to sign the state grant award, the special conditions for the 16-CB-0507 Nebraska Crime Commission Juvenile Diversion and Alternate Detention in the amount of $93,131. That is with Mike Carlson, right?
Yep.
So that was added late on Friday, so there it is.
So we need to prove it.
We just need to prove it. So they can collect some dough.
I make a motion to approve the grant awarded for the special conditions 16-CB-0507.
Okay, I got a motion by Tony.
Second.
Second by Bill. Call roll, please, Joe.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Okay, the consent agenda is done. We're going to move on to new business. Amber Monet, Victims Assistance Coordinator, present the 2016-17 budget, the VOCA, for board discussion. Amber?
The Victims of Crime Act grant, which supports my program. Just an update, I'm actually asking less this year from the previous year, so it's about $8,000 to $9,000 less. So I just wanted to update you on where that's at. It's due June 20th, which is 2 weeks from today. So I'm still working on it. So there might be a little bit of a fluctuation, but I'm not asking for more from last year.
And Amber's taken this to the LEC board and also to the city council.
And they just passed it last week.
Yep.
Yep.
So everybody is on board with it.
Yes.
So it's pretty simple procedure. It's an annual procedure that she does.
Right. And October will be the final determination of funding. So I think it's October 14th. October 14th.
Yeah, they got a lot of different dates on there, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I just highlighted the ones that were important. June 20th when it's due, and October 14th when the final funding determination is set.
Yep. Easy procedure, so.
You need a motion, right?
I think it's just an update, right?
It's just an update, just letting you know where the budget's at.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Amber.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to B. I know it's not John, but we got a representative from Emeritus.
Jay Spearman.
Jay?
With Emeritus. John apologizes for not being able to be.
And I bet he does. I haven't seen him around forever. So we need to approve the resolution 16C-008. For providing the $850,000 highway allocation funds for their 10-year bond for the payment of the cost of Veterans Drive road construction, blah, blah, blah.
What I handed out is a proposed debt service schedule. If you decide to move forward, adopting a resolution authorizing the issuance of bonds. These payment dates and interest rates will be set and will not change until such time after 5 years. The county will have the opportunity to refinance them, pay them off, or leave them outstanding. The average interest rate for the financing is 1.989. By the time you factor back in all the costs associated with issuing the bonds, your all-inclusive cost is at 2.209% for the highway allocation bonds. We are set for a closing date of June 30th. At which time Emeritus will want to transfer the net proceeds of the bond issue to the county.
And let's see here. So then we make payments twice a year?
Correct. Semi-annual interest payments and annual principal payments.
So our first payment will be Let's see here.
First interest payment is January 15th of 17, and first principal is July 15th of 2017.
Okay, okay, I see it. So the 87,575 and then the 8,200. So we were pretty much right on what we figured that the dollar amount was going to be. Yeah, so we're sitting at $96,421 in interest over a 10-year period. And I know when we looked at this originally, we looked at a 15 and we looked at a 20, and I know it was going to save us a ton of money. And we kind of strategized of kind of how we wanted to pay this. And originally, we was looking at a 20-year to make a cash flow, but I think we kind of come up with some other alternatives with some of our inheritance money that we can still, you know, factor in. If it was a 20-year payment, the money that we would save and interest over the next, you know, for a 10-year period, it just made sense for us. And I like the idea. I know that I kind of presented it to everybody, kind of what my thoughts were on a 10-year. I know it's a lot to chew off, but I think in the long run, to get it done and over with, we're committed. Any thoughts? Bill, Rick, Tony, Dick?
Get it over with.
Okay, well.
Thank you.
Is that it?
That was fast.
It's really simple and straightforward. It's no different than a loan. It's just
right. No, I'm just kind of saying, not to you, is that it, but these guys. Everybody's just kind of quiet here. I know it's kind of it's one of those subjects that we've been all over the place for a long time. So, anyways, we need somebody to make a motion to approve resolution 16C-008 for the $850,000 that we've committed to on Veterans Drive. So moved.
Seconded.
Okay, got a motion by Rick, seconded by Tony. Call roll, please, Joe.
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Dick.
Yes.
Bill.
No.
I was looking for you to make the motion.
Yes, I was holding on to you. I was going to do a drum roll for you. Okay. Well, thank you for coming. We appreciate it. Thank you. Miscellaneous. We got Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, for the road report.
May 22nd to June 4th, 237 total road maintenance hours, tree debris and removal, 24 hours. Projects, we got a culvert and a slide, a road slide out on R Avenue in two different spots. We got 49 hours so far wrapped up in that. Blacktopping, patching, 15 and a half hours. Aggregate haul, 2,121 total tons. Signs, we got 55 hours, doing that a little bit different. That's he does a lot of locating anymore. You got to locate every sign. Inventory any hours he has on signage, we write down. We had no barricades and no signs. So, road concerns, L Avenue, Grady. Gravel was O Avenue. And there's one over here I didn't list. It was Gov's Trail Hard Surfacing.
There you go.
Where's that at?
Where's that at?
But anyway, that's it.
Newcastle washing your rock now?
Yeah.
What's that?
Newcastle, they
yes.
Wash rock?
Yes.
Good. You like it?
Yes, I do. The problem is it's a little far for us to go when we're running one truck or so.
Yeah.
So we have it delivered, which is a good price. It seems like they have trouble just getting it delivered to us.
Really?
We probably got 1,000, 1,500 ton sitting there right now and using it up in the hills in different spots. But, yeah, it's a good product.
Good.
Nothing wrong with it.
Can you get on I call it the Kenny Baker Bridge.
Yeah.
And get that. I know the bridge is open for 14 ton to get that blading done. I get a few calls on that. I know you guys have been swamped with the rain.
We had a few culverts and slides on some roads we had to take care of. But we have the Martinick Bridge also isn't complete. The approaches have got to be widened out yet.
Okay.
Kenny Baker Bridge.
Got a lot of stuff to try and
I don't think it'd take you much to get that.
No, it would not.
Okay, thank you.
But we're catching up a little bit.
I know.
It doesn't seem like it, but we are.
No,
all of our machines are full now, right?
Yes, we have another new operator.
We're back to seven, full. I see Lonnie today. He's started on board this last week, right?
Yes.
His name Lonnie?
Lance.
Awesome. I think the guy that we interviewed,
Sal. Right. Now, we have the fair that's coming up out here. And is it going to be possible to have one of the guys there with a maintainer to do the track for the tractor pull, kind of,
Sure.
When Sheree came in and talked about the fair board, right. I told him just give me a heads up so I can line things up, whatever they need, sheep's foot,
Loader dump truck.
Right.
Not a problem.
I think during the pulls when they're going to need the help is leveling up, filling the ruts back out with the pull sled.
We'll figure something out.
All right.
Sounds good. Anything else for Fred?
Thanks, Fred.
Not let's move on.
I'll volunteer if no one can run it. I'll take care of it.
I want to see this.
No smoking in it. I can run them. It's been a while, but I can run them.
We'll move on to B. We're going to talk to Tiffany Paulson Hansen. I'm going with that from here on out, all right? The health department director.
Right?
She didn't hyphenate.
I didn't. It's been weird for me, too, because I rate still Paulson on everything. So, yeah. Whoopsies. So I have an update from our April 28th meeting. So it's kind of been a while since I've seen you guys. The grant updates, BT, we just submitted third quarter reports, and that actually comes in tomorrow, the funding. So we got about $9,500 back from reimbursement, and just submitted a new work plan for the 2016-2017 year. This year we're going to be working on 9 of the 15 capabilities, so you'll probably see me or our new ERC, Jen Ankerstar, kind of looking for information. We have to update some county affiliated policies, and so you might see us kind of fishing for some information. Immunization, we submitted first quarter reports. The estimated reimbursement was $11,000. West Nile, we just received our contract last week, and I filed for our $917 invoice, which is the first of three. And I've been in touch with Bob Livermore at the city about possibly doing some spraying for Cardinal Festival days that are going to be coming up. So that was one of the things that the board wanted me to do. Minority Health Grant, we submitted our third quarter reports, an estimated reimbursement of $15,000. We have 148 clients that are duplicated, meaning that they come back fairly frequently. And Radon Grant, we distributed 72 of our short-term tests and 0 of our long-term tests from January to March, and I just submitted the final report for that last week, and that was about $1,200 reimbursement. Ebola grant is wrapping up, so the last thing we have on this one is just our plan, which is fabulous. Everyone's heard about Ebola a million times, and so we're just Jen's finalizing that. And a lot of it has to do with transport of specimens. That's kind of where our hang-up's been lately, but that's due the end of this month. New business, we hired a new emergency response coordinator. Her name is Jennifer Ankerstar, so she started the second week in April, and she's been doing a great job. That position is kind of difficult to get a grasp on because there's a lot of planning and stuff, but she's been
she
doing.
Replaced Nick?
Yes. Yep. And so she doesn't have quite as an extensive background as Nick, but she's got the longevity and a lot more discipline as far as planning is concerned, and so I thought it was going to be a good mix, and so she's just getting acclimated to the whole emergency preparation side of it. But she's doing a good job.
And what's her name again?
Jennifer Ankerstar.
Jennifer?
Yes. Cool. Next new business that we discussed was Community Conversations grant that we got awarded through our Nebraska Local Health Directors Association, and it was for $6,000, and the goal of it was focused on veterans' families, and so we had a what they called a community conversation on May 11th at South Sioux Legion. We had about 10 participants. And it was just questions related to veterans and their families, what we could do better as a community, what resources they relied on, and then that eventually is compiled and will trickle up to the VA at the state level when they do their state plan. And then the next grant that we're working on is a Health Hub grant, which is a planning grant for colorectal and breast cancer preventative screenings. And so I've been working on that with the community health workers, and hopefully if we get all of
our ducks in a row and a good evidence-based strategy that the state's happy with, it'll be about $50,000 for the next fiscal year. And that's it. Any questions or concerns or comments?
Sounds like you're busy.
At our last, one of our last help meetings,
yep.
Tiffany's got these little pucks that you can throw into ponds or whatever to take care of mosquitoes if you got any standing water.
Yep, I just talked to Dick about it.
They cover so many square feet, each one of them.
Yes, and I haven't looked exactly. I want to say it's like 100 square feet, but they're little wafers, and they're to help reduce mosquitoes being able to lay eggs in your standing water. And I just ordered them last week. We order usually about 200 to 300 every year, and so if you have standing water, it's a good thing just to throw in there. It reduces mosquitoes. And
so you don't have any.
But right? You'll be able to.
No, I ordered them. And they should be in. I told Dick either the end of this week, first part of next week.
And you can pick them up at the health department or at the, Tiffany usually gives.
Extension.
The extension song.
Yep.
All right.
And they got to go in water, though?
Yep. What was that?
They have to go in water?
Yeah, those do. Yeah, but we also have, like, the regular mosquito bug wipes available at our department, as well as I'll give some to extension. And then we do send them out to the local vets, too. So if you're there and that's more convenient, you can pick up some from the local vets.
Spray the yard.
Well, I've asked her about
it. I'd like to pick some up.
Okay. And I don't get one of them, too. So when they come in, I'll let you know.
Yeah, no doubt. Can I put them in the pool? Would the kids be able to send them out?
I would send them in the pool, probably.
God, I would think they'd be water friendly.
Yeah, I'm sure they would be.
Throw them in there. If you get a rash, consult your doctor.
Yeah. Longer than 4 hours, right?
All this week.
Okay, and I just told Rick I could call him, too, when they came in.
Oh, give me a call.
For 4 hours, good to the doctor.
Okay.
Because I'm about to get them.
Okay.
Beautiful. All right, Tiffany, thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Commissioner, committee reports. I know everybody probably had a little something to say, but Rick and I and Joan met with half of the people today with the, or not quite half, but the budget finance, going over those numbers. It's that time of year. Nothing really out of the ordinary yet. There's a few special requests that we've had, but I just have to plug the numbers in. I think so. Okay. Yeah. Well, of course, you know, you're working on numbers from last year on valuations, you know, and of course, you know, you're thinking about this year's valuations, which. But anyways, we met with them, and we're going to meet again tomorrow morning, so we got to finish out tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning is a lot of the big ones with Fred in the road department, with Chris, so we meet in the morning and go over some more, and we'll keep everybody updated on that. The LEC, we have a meeting tomorrow. It's our last meeting, and then we're going to go quarterly.
Tomorrow? Oh, yeah, tomorrow.
Yep.
You're right.
Tomorrow,
oh,
yep. So we got an LEC meeting tomorrow. Then after that, we've been meeting every month. And with all their updates, it kind of worked out perfectly with our quarterly, with the 3 months. And then we're going to start meeting every quarter instead of monthly. So then all the updates are supposed to be done. They're going to give us a full explanation of how everything's gone. But anyways, that's it. My Dakota agency, I missed that last week at a baseball game, which I don't think I missed too much. So I'm told, but
I don't have any. Bill Johnson ain't here, but the Vietnam warrior veteran left this morning, and they'll probably get back tomorrow. They went to Washington, D.C., and I think there was 11 of them in this area that flew out. So,
see the wall?
Huh?
See the wall?
Yeah.
We had a safety meeting today, just basically talked about intruder training and evacuation plans, which we all have had in place. We just update them occasionally. Tornado drills. Said it's awful sad when you have to think about intruder training, but it's probably more probable than a tornado. Talked about incident reports. We're going to get our road mechanic a hard hat. It sounded like he bumped his head. So. But other than that, just about the same thing every quarter, basically, we go through. But that's all I have.
I went to that electric car planning thing last week, and very interesting discussion, very forward-thinking group, very looking at solar power and possibly
solar-powered batteries for electric vehicles rather than plugging them in and trying to keep them charged while they're out there. And interesting, we got our sign put up and the sticker for our car, and now that it's fully charged, Bill can go back and forth to Ponca with,
no problem.
With the air on and the radio going. And
no mile an hour.
Yeah.
Have you tried it yet, Kim? Have you tried it yet? Or?
The only place we go is Kearney and Lincoln or Omaha. So.
Yeah.
Rick's been using it on his trips to Menards and Lowe's, and Teresa Grove has been using it for her health.
Oh, he's cool. Not using it?
Yes.
I think he does his business when he goes to lunch. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah. He's in charge.
No.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, everybody should just drive it. Just if you've never drove a complete electric car, you should just take it for a spin around the block.
Oh, that's weird.
It says nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And when you back up, because there's no motor running, so it beeps. It has like a beep, beep.
Does it accelerate pretty good?
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, Joan and I had up to 110 out here.
Yeah, you did.
It was okay. She was driving, of course. No, it seemed to be fine. Yeah, I didn't take it on the highway. It seemed to be fine. So,
God.
Well, it's good everybody's starting to use it. It is a nice little car. I mean, everybody should look at it and drive it. Like I said, it's kind of a neat little rig. We're going to go to 5, mail or emergency business. The mail that I wanted to point out was from NERMA. If everybody's seen that our rates, I think everybody got it in the mail, and plus Joan had our packet. Our rate went up 12.07% from last year, which is equivalent to $19,252. We talked, and I don't know if we haven't had a lot of increase over the last X amount of years.
They did vote to.
Oh, yes. And if you recall the letter that we wrote about a month ago for the Dakota Agency, Public Safety Agency.com, they did insure them.
Good.
Yep, they did insure them, which is great news. Yeah.
That ain't the reason why they raised our rate, is it? Because of the liability.
Yeah.
Insured them.
Who knows when the rate increases? That's probably enough. We better look into that, huh? No. If you need to, Joan will give you a loss run of what we've got going on here. So,
we've had some huge losses.
Yeah. So, in my eyes, 12.7% rate increase. Like I said, we haven't had a lot of increases, and we've had some, you know, that flood a few years back, you know, cost them a couple hundred thousand. So I think that, you know, it's pretty minor if you look at our loss run. So anyways, that's all I have. In mail emergency business, so any public comment? Anybody? Ronnie, you got anything to say?
Nope.
You're good. Blake, intern guy, you're
nope.
Good. Fred?
I'm done.
Okay, you're done. All right, well, listen, meeting's adjourned. Our next regular meeting will be on June 20th.
But we got a special.
Oh, our special, but yeah, our regular Board of Commissioner meeting will be the 2016.
You know, 9.
Yeah.